This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Weegar, Isidora with a shot punched into the corner by Lankinen, and that will do it. Flames losing streak extended to three as the Predators get a split in the province of Alberta tonight. They'll leave Calgary with a 4-1 win.
Flames losing streak now up to three games. They dropped the decision last night, 4-1 to the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Logan Gordon along with you for the next hour. On today's show, we'll break down the Flames and the Preds from last night. Take a quick peek at their next opponent for some Saturday night hockey at the Saddle Dome. We'll open Lou's mailbag once again. Give somebody a $200 gift card and lower bowl tickets to a Flames game. Plus the Calgary Roughnecks get training camp going today. We'll check in with GM Mike Bord. Catch you up on the latest there. Oh, and the Calgary Stampeders have a playoff game on Sunday. That means a live Stamps report with Matty Rose coming up just after 2:45. Lots to get to. Let's kick it off like we always do by going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcoming in our pal, our Flames insider for the Gemini Group. It is Peter Labardius, the Gemini Group. Home Renovations knows your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you?
I am good. I am currently watching the Calgary Wranglers and the Tucson Roadrunners, and the Wranglers have a 2-0 lead in the second period.
Playing a little hockey hooky, as the promo would go, hey?
You know what's awesome, though? In my world, it's never hooked.
Yeah, I guess this is just now, research for you.
It's always research, and there's a double dip for me tonight because I'm going to make my way to Seven Chiefs later to watch Gavin McKenna and the Medicine Hat Tigers take on the Calgary Hitmen.
Yes, and we'll have that game for you here on Sportsnet 960 tonight with Brad Curl and Jeff Hollick on the call from Certina Nation there. So looking forward to that one, a hockey-filled day for Lou. And it was a hockey-filled night for you last night, Lou. We were at the Saddle Dome to watch the Flames and the Predators. Not a lot going on in the positive way for Calgary last night. They fell 4-1. Just give me your observations from last night. What went wrong for the Flames?
Well, when I was asked that on the broadcast, I used one word, and I said everything. And it did get a little better, and the goalie was good. But I'm going to use the same line I used on the post-game show last night. And you know me well, look, and I don't do this very often, but I was on my way to the elevator to go downstairs, and a couple of insightful fans were walking behind me, and one guy looked at his buddy, and he said, "Man, that was tough to watch tonight, but Markstrom was pretty good." And really, I thought that in a nutshell, I couldn't sum it up any better than that. So they didn't have a lot of zip. They played a team that was 3-6-1 going in, and I think a better group than how they had played. And they looked like a very desperate, detail-oriented, fast team from the get-go. And the Flames weren't ready to match it. And, you know, after a first period where Markstrom gave them any chance to still be in the game, you know, you come out and you make a bad decision on a change that leads to a 2-on-0. And then, understandably, you're frustrated, so you take a questionable penalty and you give up a power play goal, and now it's 3-0. And you know some nights that it could happen, but the way Nashville was playing and the Flames just were not creating a lot of second and third chance opportunities in the inside of the rink, that it was going to be a long row to hoe, and that's exactly what it was.
a lot of people were asking the question last night, Lou, where was the energy for this group, especially coming off of a tough loss against Seattle where they blew that third period lead? Didn't seem like the group had a lot of jump in their step. I wondered with Pat going back to the first intermission last night if that late goal from former Flames first-round pick Mark Jankowski might spark the group heading into period number two. That wasn't the case, and when Michael Backlund was asked about it post-game last night in the Flames locker room, I asked him if energy was something that he wanted to see more of from his team heading into Saturday night against the New Jersey Devils, and here's what Michael had to say.
Energy, the main thing you want to see from your group on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you got a better start. I think there's a few games this year where we've come out and dictated a game, and most of the games that we haven't, so that's a big key for us. I better start, come out and dictate games. We say that translates into energy. Same thing. Come out with a lot of energy and dictate games, I think it's a big key for us moving forward.
Well, I'm not surprised. And I also heard the entire interview with Michael, and, you know, his first comment, Logan, as you know, because you were there, was if I had the answer to it, I'd fix it. I think there's a few factors. I think there's been a lot of talk and a lot of pressure from the outside. I'd use one word, and it also starts with E. It's called expectations, whether it's internally, externally. You know, things were going pretty well around here. And even Saturday night, I liked a ton of what I saw against the Edmonton Oilers. But then it dipped. And they have not been where they would want to be or up to their standard for two games in a row. So, I don't know how many times I'm going to mention this, but all good teams go through dips. They are not playing like a good team the last couple of games, and they want to right the ship pretty darn fast. And I really do. I'm not making excuses, but when you're going good, things are easy. There was nothing easy about what they tried to do last night. Nothing. Couldn't make passes. Power play, again, really struggled on entries. Everything looked hard. And when I see that, I think about a group that is thinking a lot and not reading and reacting. They didn't play with any confidence as a group last night at all. And these things happen. And it's going to happen again before the end of this season. You don't want to get into a scenario here, and it's going to be great for them to get on the road, but it's not going to be an easy trip back to back. You know, the Islanders are playing better. Obviously the Devils have shown on this Western Canadian trip that, you know, they're a better team. They're fast, they're skilled. They're riding high right now as the Flames will have to deal with them tomorrow. And then you go to Boston. So, but it really is not about the opponent, Logan. So, you know, we can talk on New Jersey, but it's about the Calgary Flames and only the Calgary Flames and them getting back to their identity. And when they've been really good this year, they've been really good. And most of the nights they've been really good is how they've started. A couple of 16-shot first periods in the first two games of the season against none other than Colorado and Edmonton, in Edmonton. So somehow, and I mentioned it last night, my last comment on our post-game show was take today, whatever you need to do today to come to work tomorrow with the mindset of, listen, the whole world is not collapsing around you here. You're good at this. And you're a team with many, many good players. Have some fun. Get some juice back. Find some juice. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup tomorrow, and you're not going to lose it. So just go out and enjoy yourself and try your best. Do whatever you need to do to get away from any of the noise, even in your own head, and come here tomorrow and have fun and play a good hockey game and put one on the table and see where it takes you. Because as Daryl said last night, it's not about the wins and losses, Logan. It's about how you're playing. And that one was disturbing last night because they were not a good team.
Another thing that's been talked about a lot here, and I'm curious how you take it and how you've sort of broken it down, is obviously there's been so much focus on the new look lines because they've been together for two of these three losses and haven't exactly been enamored with the outcome of the change up here. But I'm just curious, Lou, when you see that and you see that Daryl Sutter hasn't changed them up nearly at all on 5-on-5 over the last two games, why do you think that is?
Well, it's kind of a two-pronged story for me. So if I was to go back to Saturday night against Edmonton, and I asked Daryl, as you know, flat out the other day, you know, when do you make changes and why? And he pointed to trends. Now, is he going to get into what those trends are exactly? No. You know, it's always going to be a combination of eye test, feel, back that up with not the analytics that we can find necessarily, but the analytics that as a team they really value. The only real surprise for me coming out of the Edmonton game was I thought that the Lindholm line, who had 12 shots on goal that night, was starting to get a little traction. But, listen, who the heck am I to question what Daryl is trying to do? I'm not going to do that. And, you know, he's talked, too, about, by and large, he's liked his center play. He hasn't loved his wingers. But, you know, coming off a game like last night, that's not about lines. That's about compete and battle and moving your feet and skating. You know, that one was just one you want to take whatever form of video that you watch and throw it away. So I get the question. It's a fair question. I know it was a big subject, and yes, like I said, that was the one combo I was a little surprised, and I won't be the least bit shocked, you know, if you see a situation that resembles more of, you know, the first number of games and not the last couple. But last night wasn't about who played with who. It's just they did not play well at all.
How important do you think getting out on the road is for this team? I know it's, we've talked about it a lot, and I think it's one of those things that is easy to look towards. But as Daryl says here, Eric Francis asked him post-game, you know, hey, does this feel like a team that's ready to go out on the road? And Daryl was quick to say, yeah, you know, we've been at home for a while, but there's still some work to be done here. I'll let you sort of go off of what Daryl says here post-game, Lou.
A lot of people ask, is it time for a road trip? I know you still got one more game at home, but
seems like we've been home for a long time.
It does feel like it could help a team, couldn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not looking that far ahead. You know, it's not the win. It's not winning or losing. I'm looking more at the process or the performance of guys, right? That's concerning.
Yeah, Logan, I had some trouble hearing that clip completely, but I did hear it when it happened. So, listen, I haven't, you don't want to use it as an excuse, because when the team was 5-1 and you're beating some good teams and you're beating them in this building and you came off a year where you won, you know, 25 at home last year, it looked like a real opportunity to maybe get out of the gate, you know, 8-2. But the thing I didn't like about it when I saw it come out and then thought about it some more during the course of the summer was when I have a lot of new people coming into my lineup, and they did last year, if I had to go 9 out of 10, and maybe not 9 out of 10, because I don't like that, like on either side. But I'd always want, you know, a road trip relatively early, and I, like last year, would have preferred it to be more road oriented early and home heavy later. But you can't change that now. But yes, I do think it will be very advantageous for this group to be in different places, be in different surroundings. Logan, as you and I talked about last night, as we were, you know, upstairs waiting for the pregame show to start, you know, our conversation, and it's very true. And listen, if you don't know what it's like, it's different. But if you do know what it's like, it matters. And even when you do a job like I do, things start to feel a little like Groundhog Day when you're doing it in the same place, going through the same routines. Now, people at home are going to go, "You ungrateful so-and-so." No. I'm the last ungrateful person to spend a lifetime covering sports. Trust me, I love it. But I do know the difference, and what your mindset is at times when, you know, you're going to go away. Or it's why people go on vacation. Now, maybe not the greatest analogy, but this is a long time for a hockey team to be at home. And in a Canadian market especially, I want no part of long home stands like this. I just don't. Too much going on, too much distraction, lots of outside noise. And then the problem becomes, too, Logan, it's not anybody's fault. It's the way it is, and hard questions need to be asked. But it does get tiring, as you know, trying to either ask them or answer them on a daily basis when you don't really have an answer.
Yeah, just starts to sort of circle in on itself, and it feels like that from a lot of perspective. And the guys weren't, and Daryl weren't looking to use any of this homestand as an excuse. As Michael pointed out, they had a homestand last year that, you know, resulted in them playing pretty well at home and going 7-0 on a long homestand, and, you know, wasn't willing to use that as an excuse as a reason that this one hasn't gone well. So I think that we'll see a pretty inspired team on Saturday that wants to make a good impression before they get out of town for a little bit. Before we let you go on a Friday here, Lou, really excited to get back to this.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier on in the week, and I've talked about it so many times. I think we get to do one of the best prize giveaways anywhere in the city, and for Flames fans, it doesn't get any better than this. What Does Lou Say is back, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Roos Chris Steakhouse. Make sure that you head to sportsnet.ca/960. Go to the contest tab, and if you ask Lou a question and we answer it like we're about to here on a Friday afternoon, every Friday for the rest of the NHL season, you will win a $200 gift card to Roos Chris Steakhouse plus a pair of Lower Bowl tickets to an upcoming Flames game. So congratulations to our first winner this season. Steven is our winner. He's got that $200 gift card and a pair of Lower Bowl tickets to the Flames and the Devils tomorrow night. Lou, Steven's question for you is this. He says, last year, Flames fans were spoiled. We were winning, but it was also super entertaining with all the career year offensively. This year, we're winning in different ways, but still winning. Just because it's not as flashy, fans think there's something wrong. Do Flames fans have to adjust to a new way of watching this new lineup, Lou?
That is an awesome question. So thank you, Steven, and a great beginning to Lou's mailbag, the 2022-23 edition, thanks to our wonderful friends and partners over at Roos Chris Steakhouse. It's a great question. It doesn't come with an easy answer, but I'll give you the best that I can. I've learned a lot of things over covering this league for a long time and sports in general my whole life. And that is, one season is never unto the next. And as a fan base, you always want your team to be great. You always want to be at the rink and be really entertained by your team. But last year was very different. There wasn't a lot of expectation on the team. They got off to a great start. They developed an identity in which Daryl and the coaching staff got them to buy into. I truly believe in the first couple of months of the season that the new Calgary Flames snuck up on people, but they played really well and they were sound and they checked and checked for their chances, and their top offensive people had years that they may never have again. And it resonated right through the whole lineup. So the big word, and I mentioned it earlier, Stephen, is this. It's expectation. And when expectations grow, so does frustration when things don't go well, internally, on the outside. But it's also an 82-game season. And really, as Daryl emphasizes, and it's very true, your job in the regular season isn't necessarily to win your division, which would be nice. It's not to set records. It's not to necessarily have 14 guys with career highs, because that's going to be really hard to do when you have so many players who had those types of seasons and did it all at once. So that's not realistic. But what it is get yourself in the playoffs, learn from what you did last year, take the additions that you have in your lineup, and hope to be a tougher out this time than you were last season. So what we expect, and listen, when I'm passionate and emotional about anything, I get it. I get it. I get the day-to-day. I get how frustrating it can be. You know, I really like this team. So my expectations are high, higher than they've ever been. But you always have to remind yourself that it's really about all 82. It's not one. It's not 82 by one. It's one by 82.
Congratulations once again to Steven. He has won a $200 gift card to Roost Chris Steakhouse and a pair of lower bowl tickets to tomorrow night's Flames game against the New Jersey Devils. You can be a winner too. Just head to sportsnet.ca/960, go to the contest tab, enter your question for Peter Labardius, and if we answer it on a Friday, you could be our next winner of What Does Lou Say? Brought to you by our great friends at Roost Chris Steakhouse, now open Tuesday to Sunday at 5 p.m., the perfect place to indulge before the game. Enjoy prime steak, broiled to perfection, and serve sizzling on a 500-degree plate. And you know what, Lou? You know what me and you are doing this year? We're going to sit down and have a dinner together at Roost Chris Steakhouse, pal.
I'm all for it, my friend. You'll never be disappointed. Great hospitality. And I was just thinking as you were going over that, you know, I'm so lucky to have some unbelievable sponsorship and my friends at Wolf Cadillac, Vince Godet and Joe and everybody over there, Rob, they're amazing. And I thought, you know, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon and it's not hockey, maybe go over to Wolf Cadillac on Bow Trail, you know, check out their new selections, and then maybe head on to Ruth's Chris for a nice dinner. Be good.
I think that's as good as it gets. We got some great people in our corner, Lou. Glad to have Roost Chris back on board. Can't wait to do this again with you next week. Enjoy the Wranglers game tonight, pal, this afternoon, I guess.
And I will.
We'll talk to you again next week, eh?
Okay. See you tomorrow.
See you, pal. There you go. Peter Labardius, our Flames editor. Is brought to you by the Gemini Group. The Gemini Group home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group.ca now offering air miles reward miles. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. It's a busy segment two here on Sportsnet today. We talked Calgary Flames. Why not talk some Calgary Roughnecks and then some Calgary Stampeders? It's all coming your way next. Mike Borg, GM of the Calgary Roughnecks, joined Sportsnet today, coming up around the corner here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, hockey season is well underway here in the city of Calgary. We got the Hitmen. They're on your radios later tonight. Calgary Flames, of course, in action. We got the Wranglers in town now. That also means that we're getting closer to lacrosse season opening up in the Saddle Dome. Getting that much busier. Welcome to Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's Logan Gordon along with you, and very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline as the Calgary Roughnecks open training camp today on the 2022-2023 season, and welcome in the general manager of the club, Mike Borg, this afternoon. Mike, thanks for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm very well, Logan. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Give our listeners a little bit of insight, Mike. What does day one of training camp for the Calgary Roughnecks entail for players and staff?
Well, there's always the reacquainting portion of that, but they do some fitness testing. They do medicals. Dentals, all those types of things, concussion testing, all those kind of protocols. And this year we're lucky enough to be doing it all in one spot at our hotel, which is the Delta downtown. And we're going to have a little team reception probably around 5:30, quarter to 6 for the guys. So it's nothing hard on the floor today, just all that mundane stuff, I guess, that they got to go through to be able to get to the floor. And, you know, our media people do some photos and they do a little bit of video, and we're off to the races with hitting the floor tomorrow.
I imagine it's a bit like that first day of school feeling again, where everybody gets to see each other. You're excited to get reacquainted with your teammates and your coaches and really get the season underway for your squad, hey?
Yeah, it is. It does feel like that. I mean, the guys started coming in last night here, so we were here at the hotel handing out the gear for training camp and things like that, and it was, you know, hugs and handshakes and, okay, where are we going for dinner, and let's all go here, and those kind of things. So it was kind of like the first day of school.
Mike, camp obviously opens today. It's the beginning of a new season for your group. I know the work of a GM is never really done, but when you look back on the off season for your group, how would you assess the work that you were able to get done ahead of training camp opening today?
You know, you do have those ups and downs. Obviously, you lose some players to, you know, free agency, and then you go through a draft and you pick up a free agent here and there, and you make a trade here and there. And, you know, what really we like the core of our team and really have kept the majority of that together. I think we made a trade, early on to acquire a defender named Jeff Cornwall, who one of the premier defenders in the league, and we think that was a big acquisition. And then we went into the draft and said, you know what, let's look at some positions that we need some help, and drafted six players, so we'll take a look at them this weekend, and excited to see them getting going. And the rest is sort of getting the contract signed and making sure we've got everybody ready to go. So it's been kind of busy, but the core of the team stayed pretty much the same, and we've got some new bodies, and we think they can fill in for whatever we've lost.
For our listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with the draft process in the NLL, Mike, give us a bit of insight into how it works when you're drafting guys at this level. Are you expecting all of them to come in and have an impact on your team? Are you hopeful that one or two of them can be regular members of your squad? Just sort of take us through how it works at the NLL level when it comes to drafting.
Yeah, it's very, we have six rounds. So you would hope that your first two are able to sort of immediately make an impact, I would think, is sort of the philosophy that everybody kind of lives by. And then you kind of look and from that point on, get guys that you believe can play in the league. Maybe it will take them a little bit longer, but you certainly want to have a look at, you know, your first round and your second round picks that, you know, they're going to be they're going to be guys who can step in and challenge for a position, you know, right out of school or right out of junior lacrosse, whichever they're coming from.
You talked about the off season and liking the core that you have, and really just, you know, adding some pieces around that core that you've been building the last couple of seasons. Speaking of, you know, the last couple of days, you've got some work done there when it comes to some guys who I think you would probably agree with me, Mike, are part of that core, and in Zach Currier and Christian Del Bianco. You get deals done with them just ahead of training camp. Can you talk to me a bit about the importance from your point of view of getting those guys signed up and back in the fold with the Roughnecks?
Yeah, absolutely. And you are, I would not disagree. They are part of that core group. So very important to get them signed. And I think it starts with Delbs, and you know, he's kind of the backbone on our defense and, you know, feeds our transition. He's grown into a leader in the dressing room, and, you know, he makes saves when we need them. And, you know, it's very important in this game to have strong goaltending. It can take you a long way. When you look at Zach, I kind of call him the Swiss Army knife kind of guy that wherever you put him on the floor, he's going to do the job. He's just that talented that he whatever coaches throw at him, whatever they put in front of him, he says, okay, I'll take a look at some film. And the next thing you know, he's able to do whatever they've asked. So he's a terrific athlete who stays in shape and again, he's impactful in games with loose balls and whatever role you throw him into, he's comfortable in. He doesn't seem to get uncomfortable out on that floor.
So training camp gets underway for your group today. You said medicals and a few of the, you know, the media, you know, to-do lists get checked off today, but you guys don't actually see game action on the floor, Mike, until the 26th of November. It's your lone preseason game. Would the GM of the Roughnecks like to have more preseason action? Is one enough? How do you feel looking ahead to your schedule and just seeing the one preseason game on your calendar?
Yeah, so that is a full-on preseason game with fans and all that kind of stuff in the building. What we are doing is we've added this to our training camp this year. We're going to travel to Toronto next weekend, and we have two sort of controlled scrimmages against one is against Albany and the other against Rochester.
Okay.
So we'll get a little more game action than what it appears as you know, the big preseason game. These are just, you know, they're formal, but they're not sort of super formal with fans and all those kind of things. So we usually try and get a couple of those in, and this year we're going to make that trip to Toronto and get two done, one Saturday and one Sunday, and we get a week off before we jump right back into that preseason game that you mentioned against Saskatchewan at the Saddledome.
Do you have sort of a to-do list that you come up with the coaching staff when you get into these training camp situations, Mike, where you sit there and say, look, we want to get this, and this accomplished over the next couple of weeks? Because I imagine from the outside looking in, you sit there and you go, obviously, systems, all of that's going to be important, integrating new guys. But I'm curious if it's as, you know, point form as maybe we think it is, that these are the goals that we want to accomplish, or is it a little bit more free form than that?
No, there are. We do set some goals like systems and things like that. The coaches, you know, the first couple of days we look at, I'm going to suggest we look at the talent that you have and their skill set. And then you begin to start to integrate a little bit of the systems. But by next weekend in Toronto and then that final weekend training camp against Saskatchewan, you want to have your systems really buttoned down and being executed by the players. So there's sort of a bit of a process there, and it's a combination of, you know, looking at the skill set and implementing those systems. And trying, guys, to be perfectly honest, to add to that,
yeah.
You look at guys and say, okay, we've got you slotted as, you know, say a defender position or tranny position. We might juggle guys around and kind of juggle those lines, so to speak, to use a hockey parlance, but you know, maybe we try that guy, hey, maybe you can play a little bit of offense. So we try and juggle guys around in that first a little bit, see how they can adjust, and then start implementing the systems.
How much is on the actual floor when it comes to training camp? Is this a situation where the guys will try to be out there every day? How much of it is really based in film and going through some of the extra stuff as well?
You know what? I would say there is a lot of film. Our coaches are very big on video and film, and we'll tape the practices and the scrimmages and obviously the exhibition game and provide that online for them to be able to study, and the coaches will go through it and send stuff throughout the week because we're not here together for the all the time for the whole week. So we send it out via email and say, okay, here's your clips, here's what I see, let's have a conversation. So the coaches are pretty busy and the players are pretty busy sort of through the week, through the week between practices to keep learning.
Mike, big picture, when you look at your group heading into day one today, what is the expectation that the GM puts on this team when he looks at them?
You know, we always want to win. I think and that's never going to change for me. I don't think that changes for anybody. But we will have some, obviously, some new faces in the lineup and some young guys who have been with us that need to, take advantage of the opportunity that's given them because they're going to get more floor time. They're going to have more opportunity. It's their growth that's really going to dictate where things head. And, we're comfortable with that because we've been able to, you don't really have a farm system or anything, but we've gotten these guys enough floor time and practice time and things like that. And they have developed over the last, say, year or 2 years that we're kind of progressing them into the position that we always thought that they could do, that they could perform at. So we want to put those guys in the position to have success, but we're looking forward to a lot of the young guys to take a step forward and take more responsibility and more accountability on the floor.
I always say this, the Roughnecks atmosphere is unlike any in this city, and we're so lucky to have so many different sporting experiences available to us here and around the area. But Mike, when you think about, that first home game of the regular season, just over a month away from against Vancouver, how excited do you get thinking about, hey, we're just under about a month away from getting this thing going for real?
It feels like, I'll be perfectly honest, it feels like this was a long off season. And I know we did make the playoffs and we bowed out in the first round, but it just feels like it's been a long time, which I think was why it was, to go back to the start of our conversation, why it felt like the first day of school again when we all got back together. So everybody's pretty excited, jumping at the bit to get that first game under their belt in the Saddle Dome is always important for the players. They love playing here because the fans are loud and the atmosphere is great. So it's fortunate we're opening up at home and opening up against a rival and a divisional rival that, I don't think we'll have any trouble getting up for that game.
Mike, thanks so much for the time today. I know it's a busy one. Best of luck through training camp here and into the regular season. We'll chat with you again down the road as we get closer to that home opener, all right?
All right, you take care, Logan. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Mike Board, the general manager of the Calgary Roughnecks, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, the Calgary Roughnecks, opening up training camp today ahead of their regular season opener Saturday, December 10th at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. One preseason game to get to on the schedule. It comes on the 26th against the Saskatchewan Rush. That's of November. So you got a couple of Saturday dates here, and I've mentioned it before. The Calgary Roughnecks are one of the unique and awesome sporting events that we get and sporting atmospheres that we get here in the city of Calgary. You add in the Wranglers to that. There's Cavalry FC. It's always crazy out at ATCO. You've got the Okotoks Dogs at Siemens Stadium. They're a lot of fun in the Roughnecks. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't been out to a game, find a way to go. They've got some great specials for that preseason game coming up on the 26th. If you're looking for something to do on a Saturday night and you want to get a feel for what that Roughnecks atmosphere is all about, I would highly recommend that. Head to their website, or you can find them on Twitter, of course, where they post all their information. They are at NLL Roughnecks. Thank you to Laura from the Roughnecks for setting that up for us. Busy day for everyone in that crew, and wish them the best during training camp and into the regular season. Did want to talk about this as well before we get out of here on a Friday. It is a Stampeders playoff game on Saturday. Hasn't been as much buzz for this one this year. Maybe it's because they're on the road and it's been a couple of weeks since the footballs mattered as much for the Calgary Stampeders, but a premier matchup on Sunday afternoon for the Stampeders against Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions. It's part of a doubleheader on Sunday. 11 a.m., you've got the Ticats and the Alouettes in the East semifinal, West semifinal, Lions hosting the Calgary Stampeders. Sounds as though there's a big buzz around Vancouver for this game. Amar Doman, the owner of the BC Lions, saying just a few days ago that they've opened up a couple other sections around BC Place in the Upper Bowl to accommodate ticket requests. Sounds like they're honestly predicting they could get close to 40,000 in attendance for that game on Sunday. That would be a huge boon for the CFL. I think it speaks a lot to what the Lions have done there. Amar Doman's been a guy that's come in and really boosted the profile of that team once again. And it sure as heck helps when you get a guy like Nathan Rourke out there, a young Canadian quarterback who's been dynamic, will likely win most outstanding Canadian player this year, even though he didn't play most of the year. He dealt with that Lisfranc foot injury. Now he's set to perform on Sunday against the Calgary Stampeders, and that's going to be the biggest thing for this team coming up on Sunday is, can you stop Nathan Rourke? You've got one of the best defenses in the league. You have a guy that's, in my opinion, going to win Defensive Player of the Year in Sean Lemon. You got to make life difficult on Nathan Rourke. That's going to be the name of the game for the Calgary Stampeders. That one's a 2:30 kickoff from BC. You don't want to miss it. Malik Henry and the Calgary Stampeders, of course, it'll be Jake Mayer getting the start. Bo Levi Mitchell will back him up in a backup capacity. If they struggle, do we see Bo? I don't know. Have we already seen the last of Bo in a Calgary Stampeders uniform when it comes to on-the-field activity? We'll wait and see. But that's the local scene this weekend. Roughnecks training camp. You've got the Wranglers this afternoon. You've got the Stampeders Sunday, I mentioned. Flames Saturday. It's a whole lot of local sports. And I'll bring in our producers this afternoon. We got GVP and Cam back over there. GVP, have you been to a Roughnecks game?
No, I've never have, but I've heard they're actually like a lot of fun.
Dude, I don't know what it is exactly about the crowd that goes to Roughnecks games. They love making noise. I think it's kind of like,
yeah, I've heard they're rowdy.
It's incredibly rowdy. The goals are going. The kids, there's something with the kids with the t-shirts. They love taking the t-shirts off and flinging them around.
It's music nonstop too, right?
It is.
In between the play? Yeah.
Yeah. So the DJ makes a big difference in all of that too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of trash talking the opponent from the PA guy, which I'm all for. Do yourself a favor. You've got some Sportsnet creds now. Find your way down there for a game because it really is one of the cooler ones. It's just, I think it's kind of like a football thing where they only play once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they're on the road, you won't see them for a couple weeks. So you're so stoked for that one opportunity to see them that you're going to make as much noise as possible.
It's like a party that you're looking forward to.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. 100%. And that's, I believe that was one of their slogans for a couple of years was come for the party, stay for the game. And it's funny because so many of those like sport analogies are promo ones. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's a party and you know, we're comfortable. But the Roughnecks are actually like that.
All right. So, definitely got to go check it out then.
I was going to ask you this because I mentioned, how many of those different sporting ones that I hit on have you gone to? Have you been to a Cavalry game? Have you been to a Dogs game? What have you?
I have been to a Dogs game. Not recently. Cavalry I've never done. I have done Stampeders and then obviously Flames.
And did you like, Siemens Stadium, the Dogs?
Yeah, this one's a lot of fun.
I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's as good of a baseball atmosphere that you're going to find. It feels like a mini major league stadium.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah. I used to play against the Dogs, so I've even played games on Siemens Stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I knew you played hockey. I didn't know you played baseball, too.
Yeah, baseball guy. I haven't played in a couple of years. I quit when I was 20, but yeah.
I'm going to guess your position.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Shortstop.
No, pitcher.
Oh, center really?
Fielder. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
You've been pitching into 20. I mean, I think I played until I was 14 or 15. And
shoulders like, just ruined now.
Oh, that's, so. What I was just, that's honestly just where I was going. I'm like, man, even pitching that long, I see guys nowadays just ripping their shoulder out of the socket. I'm like, how do you do that at 100 miles an hour?
Didn't take care of the arm. Just ruined it.
No, at 20 years old, you're like, I'm just going to throw this thing as hard as I possibly can, and I'll think about my shoulder later. GVP's big season stadium. We'll get you down to a Roughnecks game this year, for sure. We got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to make sure to chat about the Calgary Stampeders. And of course, there's only one guy that we trust to do that. We bring in Matty Rose from the Big Show in the Morning with Russick and Rose, our Stampeders insider here on Sportsnet 960. What's up, Matty? How are you, pal?
Hey, just watching a little Wranglers puck. Sorry about that. Got a little distracted.
Oh, good, pal. You're playing a little hockey hooky this afternoon, hey?
I am playing hockey hooky this afternoon. Wranglers out to a 2-1 lead here, just underway in the third period. See if they can bring it home.
I heard Connor Zary got in a little tilt. Did he get the decision or no?
Heavy no. unfortunately, the opposition kind of caught it. It was weird. Like, there was another fight that broke out, and then Zary and Dude, like, split off into the corner. And then I think it was Klapka came in and looked like a third man in, and then he backed off. And as soon as he backed off, the Roadrunner got a right out there like a viper and kind of caught him and dropped him. But, yeah, he was out there, and he participated in the scrap, but he's actually looked pretty good today.
That's good to hear. Wanted to bring you
and
on.
He returned. That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's a big positive.
Yeah.
Wanted to chat with you for a couple minutes here. Obviously, West semifinal goes on Sunday. Sounds like there's a lot of hype for this one around Vancouver. I was mentioning earlier, like Amar Doman saying they could hit somewhere near 40,000 people in the stands for Sunday. What a boon that would be. How excited are you for this matchup between the Stamps and the Lions?
I'm excited because it feels like I've been waiting a month to watch this game. Like, we've known essentially that it was going to be the Stampeders and the Lions for 3-4 weeks. The only question was, where were they going to play? And even that was decided a couple of weeks ago before the Stampeders played this home and home with the Rough Riders to close out the regular season. So I'm super excited. Nathan Rourke returns, so we'll get to watch him again. He's a great player and fun to watch. Jake Mayer will be, that's a Roadrunner goal. That's too bad. Jake Mayer will be throwing it out there and looking to prove himself as well, just because, you know, that's a guy that I think doesn't necessarily love that he's not getting a ton of hype, a ton of respect for a guy that came in midway through the season and has just been outstanding at the quarterback position. So I'm excited for this one. A lot of things to like. The Stampeders are healthy, which I think is a good thing. A couple of question marks, perhaps, but I think they're fired up for this game in BC. And I'll also mention that Foothills bubble out of Schuldice Park, that's a lovely little addition for the team that's also preparing to play in a bubble in BC. So that's been a nice little bonus for the club this year.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge benefit for them, knowing that, hey, yeah, everyone talks about you're playing the game on Sunday in a dome, but that doesn't, you know, change the week of preparation that could have been out in the snow and the cold and everybody tense up to be able to go. And I thought they even had a DJ and everything. It was a pretty full-on atmosphere at the Schuldice bubble.
Yeah, switched it up a little bit, brought the DJ in to get the vibes going, which was really cool. And like you mentioned, the bubble's been great because especially that you're playing in BC, you're going to be in bubble conditions. You want to practice like you play, and the Stampeders have had that opportunity. Now, granted, if they were facing Winnipeg or they were facing Saskatchewan, they probably would have spent 1 or 2 days in the bubble, and the final day of the week would have been out dealing with the elements, and maybe they do that if they advance this week, but it was a nice benefit to have.
How much of the storyline Sunday, Matt, for you is about the team stopping Nathan Rourke? Because he was so dominant before he went down with that injury. He got into some action last week and looks like he's, you know, pretty healthy, all things considered. Is that the main thing going into this one, or is there still some on the Stampeder side of things that they need to focus on?
I think that would be it. Like, there's obviously a lot of Stampeders on the offense have something to prove. The biggest story is definitely stopping Nathan Rourke. I thought Sean Lemon kind of laid it out in an interesting way. He's the West nominee for Defensive Player of the Year, one of the defensive ends for the Stamps, who's had just an outstanding season, obviously. But he was like, yeah, it's about Nathan Rourke, but really it's about the offensive line. And that's where I always come down with the CFL, with the NFL even. If you win the battle in the trenches, chances are you're probably going to win the game. If your quarterback can stay upright, if you can create more yards on the ground with your rush attack, especially in the CFL, which, you know, a lot of teams will just move away from the run really early on. So if you can get out there and you can win in the trenches, that is huge. And that goes for both sides of the ball. Stampeders, for a lot of people's money, have the best offensive line in the league. They also have one of the top defensive lines, but the Lions are also a group that boasts a top defensive line. So for me, it's going to be down in the trenches because listen, if you're not winning those battles, if the defensive line isn't winning that battle against the offensive line, Nathan Rourke's going to go ham on you. I don't care who's in your secondary, whether you got anyone from the NFL, Darrell Revis and Deion Sanders, Nathan Rourke's going to find a way to find a guy.
Before I let you go, how much fun was that CFL All-Star situation?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I almost swore there, but it was a crap show, boys. That was a little bit of a chaos for sure. And you know what? I was chatting with Danny Austin, and he was chatting with another one of his colleagues, Wes Gilbertson. And Wes, I asked him, I think, like, so if there weren't any Stampeders, like if that was the only mistake that wasn't made, like would the league have gone back and tallied the votes? And if you don't know, the Stampeders announced their All-Stars earlier this week, and then 7.5 hours later in the day, announced a new set of All-Stars, and they had made 21 changes. And I believe what happened here is the independent group who tabulizes the voting, there was a fan vote aspect this year, and the fan vote was given like 5 times the weight that it should have been, or something along those lines. So it was just a whole bunch of fan votes that kind of took this thing over. And as a result, a whole bunch of guys that should have been All-Stars weren't to start, but then they got it all fixed and sorted out. Yeah, it was a gong show. Happy to see the 11 Stampeders that get nod. They got the nod. Get it rightfully so, because, you know, that's tied to contracts, next contracts, bonuses, and really these guys' livelihoods, right? We're not talking about NFL salaries here.
Yeah, 100%. Matt, enjoy the rest of the Wranglers game, pal. Thanks for this today. Enjoy the game on Sunday, pal.
Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. There you go. Matt Rose from Russick and Rose, the big show in the morning here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We got to get out of here. We're way over time. Sorry to our producers. We'll get the PDO cast coming up to you in just moments here. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Mike Board. Thanks to Peter Labardia. Shout out to GVP and Cam for keeping us afloat on this one. We'll be back next week here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.